Good morning, Asbury, and welcome to Global Learning Day. For those that do not know me, or who only know me as the lady I need to speak to about my CCE, my name is Tina Way-Smith, and I am the director of the Global Engagement Office. So today, through our speakers, we also will have a talk-back session with our speakers at 11:30, and an internationally Americanized-themed lunch in the cafeteria. We want to give you all the opportunity to learn what students and alumni are doing to prepare themselves for a global society, and in turn, make positive and responsible impact for Christ. And now, we define global as both the local and global community. So right here in the United States, we have the opportunity to welcome people from all over the world. That may be your fellow classmates, your neighbors, your coworkers, church members, and whether you're in a big metropolis or even right here in small town Wilmore. Purposeful, meaningful global learning can occur on and off campus, and transformative global experiences can happen both stateside and abroad. And as we listen to our chapel speakers today, I want you to consider how global learning informs our spiritual formation. First, let me open us up in prayer. Lord, first and foremost, I want to thank you for being our Lord and Savior. I pray that your name and your name alone will be glorified in chapel today, that you will speak to us through various individuals who will be coming on stage this morning. I ask that you give us ready hearts to learn, a willingness to humble ourselves, acknowledging that there's so much that we do not know and much that we need to learn from you. And as we engage with one another and with the world, I ask that you help us learn how to do so with much humility and empathy, as Christ has demonstrated for us. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you all to notice how we've decided to title this conversation this morning as Global Learning. Here at Asbury, we seek to start here and impact the world. But how can we best prepare ourselves for the world and consider how little we know about the global community and that we may need to go out there to learn from others? Personally, the more I travel, the more I realize I'm humbled at how little I know. The more I engage with the people of all different backgrounds and perspectives, the more I realize how much more I learn about God and see Him through them. Now, I'm currently coming out of my maternity leave. I have a 3-month-old daughter now and a 2-year-old son. So you can imagine I am reading much more picture books nowadays than scholarly articles. I recently picked one up called Around the World We Go. It's by the same author who wrote Goodnight Moon, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And the first page goes, "Around the world we go to see what we don't know." When I read it, I was actually preparing for this chapel, and I thought, that's it. That's exactly it. That is why we ask you to all go abroad, or to go into a different cultural context for your cross-cultural engagement requirement. Yes, as much as it is for you to be the hands and feet of Christ, we also want you to go out there to see what you don't know, because I guarantee you that challenge to go out and to see the world, you will find meaningful growth spiritually, academically, and emotionally. The golden rule is to treat others like you want to be treated. Okay, but the problem with that is that it assumes you know how others want to be treated, and then they want to be treated the same way that you want to be treated. So then how are we to treat one another? Through CCE, we emphasize how we need to approach our cross-cultural learning with humility and empathy. But how do we exactly do that? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Now, how do we better understand what others' interests might be, and how do we humble ourselves? Paul goes on to say, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Well, Christ, who is every bit God, who does not need to come down from his throne and labor in this fallen world amongst us, Christ humbled himself, took on the form of man, of a servant, being obedient to God, carrying out the full extent of the mission that God called him to. When I hear this, I'm absolutely floored because it comforts me and it humbles me to know that I have a Savior who understands me in my joy, pain, and suffering because he came down from the heavens to walk this earth in flesh and blood. He's almighty, all-knowing, and he doesn't need to do this to understand me, to know me. He created me. But I'm actually comforted to know that he did this and that, you know, in doing so, I realize he really truly does know me, where I am. He's meeting me eye to eye, walking, so to speak, in my shoes. So if we need an example of what it means to engage others with humility or empathy, we need only to point to Christ as an example we can imitate. And I share this with you this morning to express how global learning, how engaging our diverse global society continues to further my own spiritual growth and my understanding of God. Today we have Elijah Lutz, who will be interviewing Dan and Martha Hutchins. Both of them have had a very long career abroad, first as missionaries, then English teachers, and a very extensive career as U.S. diplomats.
Well, good morning, Asbury. As Tina said, my name is Elijah Lutz. I'm a member of the Merciful Class. Thank you, guys. Seeing as how we are pressed for time, I'm going to forego the usual shout-outs to everyone, so if you're here, consider yourself shouted out. I have the pleasure of introducing this morning Dan and Martha Hutchins. The couple met at Asbury and married in 1975, with Dan graduating in 75 and Martha in 76. The Hutchinses have served in the public sector, private sector, and the mission field. Their life experiences have taken them to several nations, including China, Costa Rica, Colombia, and South Africa. They have shared experiences working as teachers before working with the U.S. Foreign Service and the State Department, where Dan served as an economics and trade officer and later the director of the U.S.-China Fulbright Program. Martha served as a consular officer, later becoming a member of the management team of the Bureau of Consular Affairs. Both are recipients of the A Award, a top distinction granted by the Asbury Alumni Board in recognition of outstanding service to Asbury, representing academic excellence and spiritual vitality to our world. Please welcome Dan and Martha Hutchins. Guys, thank you. So, Dan, I believe you have something that you would like to open us with.
Thanks, Elijah. Good to see you all, and welcome guests. One thing that Martha and I have discovered over our years of being in many different places, let's face it, is that sometimes we are in places for a particular reason, for a particular person. And the bottom line is that God's economy is not our economy. In other words, the story of where the shepherd leaves all his sheep to go find the one that's lost. I mean, that doesn't make sense. If you're in business, okay, that's a loss. That's a write-off. That's not God's economy. So with that in mind, the other day I was quite impressed by the Lord that I needed to share something. Don't know who it's for. But there's someone here that just needs to hear these verses. This is from Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." So that's the introduction we wanted to make.
All right, thank you very much. So I'm going to start off with asking you, so how did you start working in the State Department and why there?
Actually, the State Department, where I was for the last about 25 years before retiring, was culmination of many other things that we did. We did a short term overseas, but we of a short-term mission overseas, but I always had an international interest. Even in high school and college, I traveled with a theater group, a biracial theater group, to do Black History vignettes in Europe. And then also traveled with a singing group from Asbury through Latin America. So these things led to first our short-term mission, then later in teaching ESL, teaching bilingual education. We also taught ESL in China. Then actually from that was brought to Asbury to start the ESL program here, the minor program. But in a time of declining enrollment, you know, if you're last in, you're first out. So that lasted about 4 years. But I'm glad to hear that there's still an ESL program going on. But from there to the Economics Institute in Colorado, and from there to the State Department, where we spent about 25 years.
Okay. And what do you feel, with your education at Asbury, what do you feel prepared you for your work in the State Department?
From preparation at Asbury? Well, actually, the international experiences were a big part of that preparation, building on a personal interest that I already had in things international. My undergraduate degree was not particularly suited for the Foreign Service. I did do a later graduate degree at the University of Kentucky Patterson School in international economics. But so Asbury, I think it was more preparation as a person, preparation individually and corporately. What are you saying?
Yeah, I would say the same thing, that just our time at Asbury helped us to continue to focus on finding the Lord's will. And again, I came from a family, my parents were immigrants from Holland, and so I had traveled internationally a fair bit as well. And so I think for both of us, finding each other and then knowing that we both had an international interest, that was part of us already. And then the thing that Asbury helped us with is just continuing to seek the Lord in our future direction.
So I know that government work or working for the government can probably get tedious every day or at least tiresome. What drove you to get up and keep going to work every day? What got you out of bed to go and continue doing your job every day?
Switch.
Sam's got something on his finger.
So I'm just asking. Yeah, I don't want you to take anything personally here. I have a serious wound. No, it's really nothing. getting up every morning. No, it's what you do. I mean, when you have a job, you get up and you do your job. And I think the important thing is being where you should be to begin with. Seeking the Lord and knowing that you're supposed to be in a place doesn't mean that things are always going to go well or go right, that you're not going to have troubles. It's not going to be hard to get up. Yeah, admittedly, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Working for the government, there are days when you don't want to get out of bed, but that's true for any job. So, you do what you're called to do. You continue. I loved what my German teacher here used to say. Frau Kuhn used to tell all of us, keep on keeping on. Yeah. And that says a lot.
So did you see your work for the State Department as a mission field?
Yeah, I was in the field of consular affairs, which is a very, it touches people's lives on a daily basis. And so I felt like My interest already is in relationships, and so I felt like I was in the right field within the State Department for that. And so, yeah, I do feel like it was a mission field in a sense, as much to the people that I worked with and then later managed as to those in the public that were seeking services from the U.S. government. For instance, Americans in trouble overseas. I worked in the Office of Children's Issues in Washington, where it was for international parental child abduction. And so I was dealing with grieving parents and really felt like that was a ministry. So, and then people seeking visas could be a ministry, could not necessarily. But definitely, I had, especially when I moved into management, I had people that worked for me that were really hurting. And so I feel that that was as much a ministry within my own ranks as to a general public.
Now, was it ever a challenge to live out your faith and to live out your faith life while working for the government organization?
There were times, especially shortly before I retired, and I retired kind of unexpectedly, I really felt the Lord call me very, very seriously to say, your time at the department is done. It was totally not our plan. We both had planned out our retirement and everything else. But the last job I was in at the department was really tough. I had some really tough people working for me. And I just was constantly saying, Lord, can I be released from this particular job? Not out of the State Department. But I never felt the Lord like telling me, yeah, you can be released from that. And so, yeah, that was tough.
I would say as an economic officer, we dealt with trade issues, we dealt with telecom, we dealt with maritime issues. We covered the waterfront. And when we say economics, it's more political economics. It's not analysis. It's not deep economics. It's more political. But as you can imagine, it doesn't touch people directly as much as the consular affairs that Martha worked in. However, we both found that sometimes it was colleagues that we were working with that we were meant to touch or to reach out to, or maybe someone we spoke to. And I'm really so much more of the mindset that we are called to individual people, not, you know, I didn't talk trade to Belgium to do anything to talk about the Lord. No. But maybe there was someone who came to work and just happened to have a meeting with me that day and he was hurting or something. That might develop, but it's more of a one-on-one thing.
And unfortunately, we're running a little low on time here, so I'm going to have to finish up with this last question. What advice would you give to a student who is seeking to follow in a similar path that you guys have?
I would say look for opportunities. Certainly, it's very impressive, and I'm very happy with all that Asbury is doing in reaching out internationally and programs that you can take advantage of. So if the Lord has placed that kind of in your heart, that kind of international interest, pursue those opportunities. And don't be afraid to step out and try some things. That's what, you know, all our lives, I think, we did some unusual things. We would try things. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that you'll say, that's a closed door. You'll find out later. It may not seem like it right now, but a closed door is an answer, and that's very helpful. Just try things.
The one thing, too, I think when the Lord knows us, the Lord has made us with certain gifts, interests, abilities, and that kind of thing. And so I think, again, I agree with Dan, take advantage of opportunities that fall in line with your interests, but even sometimes ones that don't so much fall in line with your interests. And I also believe, so that's why we think that Asbury having an international requirement or global engagement, I think, is very helpful.
But cross-cultural.
Also, cross-cultural, cross-cultural. But the other thing is, you know, so we both believe that you need to have a direction that you're headed, but don't hold it so closely, so tightly, that the Lord can't break in and say, you know what, no, I want you over here, rather over here. And that's why Proverbs 16:9, and maybe a lot of you are familiar with it, maybe not, but Proverbs 16:9, I don't have it written out here, but it says, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so I think both of us would say that that is a very strong verse for us. We feel like the Lord is leading us in a certain direction, but Lord, help us to see if you're moving us actually somewhere else.
Dan, Martha, thank you very much.